to those preceding him, as well as those following, kept crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. It was in 27 BC that Emperor Julius Caesar was assassinated by senators who were jealous of his power. General Octavian went out with the whole of his army, the men who he had gathered around him, toward Rome to avenge the murder of one he loved so much and who was so unjustly taken from his life. And when General Octavian returned back to Rome triumphantly, wiping out all those who had so evilly destroyed the life of this man, the emperor, when he entered into Rome again, avenging his death, he was hailed as a victor. And so the people began to pull out a chariot for him, a mighty chariot staffed by war horses, great and mighty, and triumphantly led him in a parade through the whole of the city that they could rejoice in justice being met by this man, Octavian. In the chariot, there were three people: Octavian, the chariot driver, and Octavian's own personal slave. It's quite obvious why Octavian and the driver were there, but why the slave? You see, the slave had two missions. Two missions. The first mission that slave had was to take a crown, beautifully ornate, and hold it above the head of Octavian throughout the whole of this parade through the city of Rome, so that all who passed by could see his regal dignity and that he was deserving of wearing such a crown. The second mission of this slave was that everywhere that this chariot went, to continually whisper into the ear of Octavian, this man who would later become the great Caesar Augustus, the Caesar who was in power as the emperor during the time of the birth of Christ. That slave had a second mission, which was to whisper constantly and incessantly into the ear of Octavian, "Remember, you are mortal. Remember that you are mortal." Over and over again, the slave would whisper that into the ear of Octavian. It's curious, isn't it? Why there would be a slave in that chariot in the first place, and why was it that he was tasked with continually whispering in the ear of Octavian, "Remember, you are mortal." The reason is because of this. Octavian himself requested that his own personal slave be there and do that. Think about it. Put yourself in that situation with all those crowds, with all those people gathered around him, the entire city of Rome, which is the very capital of the world. All the people of Rome are cheering him on, just in the same way as when Jesus was making his triumphal procession into the city of Jerusalem, there were those crying for him. With all those cheers, Octavian knew that he himself could be fooled and could begin to think that he himself was a god. And tragically, many of his successors, many of the emperors to come after Octavian, actually begin to believe that. To believe that madness, that they themselves were gods, and because of that, destroyed themselves and the whole of the empire. In the gospel, what we have here is we experience what, as Deacon Marvin proclaimed, it is a triumphal entry of Jesus Christ into the city of Jerusalem, the capital of all the Jewish people. And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the people began to cry out what? They cried out, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to the Son of David." Do you know what that means? The word Hosanna means save us. Save us. It's important because remember, you who are Jesus, Jesus, his name means what? Salvation. You who are salvation, they're crying out, save us from our misery, save us from our persecutors, set us free. And as we know that God alone is able to set us and truly save us and truly set us free, it's shown as an implicit belief that maybe they think that Jesus, this Jesus, is God. But just as each of us, each of you here today cried out with loud voice a couple days later, shows that they didn't believe that he was God because they said, what? Crucify him. Crucify him. And so today, brethren, we have what? Two of these. Two triumphal entries into two different cities. One of Emperor Augustus and the other of Jesus Christ. How is it that Jesus' procession into Jerusalem is different from Octavian's procession into Rome? The two are very different. You see, Augustus, when he came into Rome, he went in there on a mighty war chariot with great, strong war horses leading him forward. With a driver, with a slave, with all sorts of things, and an entire retinue behind him and before him. But when Jesus came into Jerusalem, he didn't have any of those things. No chariot, no war horse, no great procession before and behind. Jesus just came in on the foal of an ass. That's a young donkey. One that has never even been ridden before in his gangly as he walks. When Octavian Caesar Augustus, that emperor who is called Augustus, that great and venerable emperor, when he came in, what did he do? He ushered in what we call the Pax Romana. That means a Roman peace. This is a peace that is ushered in through violence, through war, through oppression. A peace that is beget fear in the lives of all the peoples throughout the land. It was enforced underneath a Roman soldier's boot. A peace that extended all throughout most of the known world. But when Jesus Christ, he who is the Son of God, the Prince of Peace, came to give people a true and lasting peace. Call it a Pax Domini, meaning God's peace, the Lord's peace. This is a peace that is won by unjustly enduring violence, war, and oppression. A peace that drives out all fear because it's given in perfect love. A peace that dwells not within the exterior world or bounded by a country or land. It dwells within hearts. And therefore, because of that, it knows no bounds. A peace that covers over the whole world, even those places where we know it not. Jesus' peace comes from the knowledge that one has been saved from sin, the greatest evil in the world. A death that destroyed death itself. This is a peace the world can't understand, even in the midst of all the trials, the difficulties, and the hardships which come. It endures, because that's what the Savior gives us. The slave whispered into the ear of that emperor that fateful day on his journey into the city of Rome, remember, you are mortal. Remember, you are not a god. Remember, you will die. But Jesus Christ, who became a slave for us as that second reading was proclaimed, that he emptied himself of his own godly dignity and allowed himself to take on the form of sinful human flesh, becoming a slave for us. Jesus Christ, the slave, whispers into the ear of each of us who are Catholics, remember, you are immortal. Remember, you are deathless. Remember, you have life. Because I can give you my love. That's eternal salvation. Human kings, earthly emperors, secular presidents, they're able to give us a peace that lasts for a time. But it always gives way to conflict and war. Why? Because sin, and power corrupt. But Jesus Christ, the crucified King, came to give us everlasting peace, a peace which knows no ends, a peace which dwells within our souls, because he destroyed sin by his ultimate sacrifice. And because he alone can give us everlasting life. Brothers and sisters, we are entering now, making our journey through this week that now we're able to call holy because we can look at it through the lens of the past. We're going on that same Via Dolorosa, that way of sorrow in the life of Christ, which ends and culminates upon Calvary. On that Friday that now we're able to call good. And we'll begin that by walking through the night where Jesus gives us his Last Supper. That first Mass, that first time the Eucharist was celebrated. Jesus did it because he knew that the next day he was about to die, that he was going to give his life. And so he decided he would give us a foretaste of what resurrection tastes like. It's a sharing in the blood of the new covenant, his promise, which was brought about by Jesus' own sacred blood. Jesus' promise was that by his own innocent blood, that he would infuse that into our own blood, which is guilty, corrupted by sin, that we might have true life within us. And Jesus continues to give that up to us to this day and to stay with us because he wants to reconcile us forever. How can we make a return for this gift? How can we return a gift to one who has given us immortality? How do we make a return for one who has infused every drop of his sacred blood into us? We know we're not worthy. And we can hardly even bear to hear of the passion of Christ without completely losing it. He's innocent. And we are so guilty. Jesus, who became a slave for us, he continues to whisper into our ears, in the ear of every Catholic, remember, you are immortal, deathless. Because I can give you my love, eternal salvation. This is what Jesus wants from us. Jesus Christ wants from us our own hearts. He wants our grateful hearts. He wants our adoring hearts. He wants our worshipful hearts. He wants attentive hearts. This week, that's what we got to ask God to allow us to give to him. Because that's all he wants. So that each of us are able to better enter into that this week that now we're able to call holy. I give you this meditation, an ancient hymn, but set to a new tune. Because it frames the mystery of the cross.
When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my richest gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did there such love or sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross, bids me come and die and find that I may truly live. Oh, the wonderful cross, oh, the wonderful cross, noble cross. All who gather here by grace, draw near and bless your name. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. O the wonderful cross, O the wonderful cross, bids me come and die and find that I may truly live. O the wonderful cross, O the wonderful cross, all who gather in by grace, draw near and bless your name.